You heard the horn. That means it's time for the Lunch Rush. Looking at the top stories in the world of sports over the weekend. Albert Pujols hits his 700th home run. Hit two in one game, so 699 and 700 all in one go. Gets to 700 in his final season. Makes you kind of wonder, you know, without the injuries, without his time in Anaheim, or the injuries in Anaheim, is he the home run king? I think he might have gotten there. You're looking at about two years worth of home runs for him to get there. He missed quite a few with injuries, so a little bit missed opportunity there. But Albert Pujols hits a 700th home run. Congratulations to him. And then individually, Aaron Judge hits his 60th over the weekend. Goes for 61. So he ties Babe Ruth. And he's now chasing after Roger Maris. Does he get to Roger Maris? What do you think?
How many does he need?
60. He needs 63 to get to. Well, 62 is Maris.
Yeah, he can. Get
that. Yeah, plenty of time. I think so is too. So one of the greatest individual seasons of all time. Aaron Judge goes for his 61st home run tonight. It kind of shows you between Albert Pujols and Aaron Judge. Albert Pujols is 42 years old, 700 home runs. Aaron Judge is 30. He's already 30 years old somehow. Wow. He's got 218 home runs, which kind of surprised me. I thought he'd be he more than that. That's a bunch of home runs, but I don't. That's you got 12 years. That's probably far beyond my public school math. I'm not sure what it takes to get there, but he's got a ways to go. That means he needs to hit 478 home runs? Nope, that's not even close.
Big number.
482 more home runs.
There you go.
482 more home runs to get to Pujols. So, ways to go. Next story, and I don't know if you've heard this, the NFL has adjusted their Pro Bowl. Obviously, the Pro Bowl is a joke. It's crazy the ratings it gets for being how bad of content it is. But they're changing it into an official skills challenge and a flag football game. What are your thoughts?
I like it. I've never been a huge Pro Bowl guy, mainly because the Dolphins don't usually send a lot of players to the Pro Bowl. That'll change this year.
That'll change this year.
But I like it. I never was a big fan of the game itself. It was kind of just like, you know, you got guys that don't want to play because of injury, guys that are out there not tackling because who wants to tackle in the Pro Bowl? But I do like the skills challenge, like the dodgeball, the throwing, kicking, all those fun little challenges, just to see these players outside of their locker rooms, outside of their organization, interacting with each other, learning things from each other. Always like that camaraderie within the NFL.
Yeah, the Sean Taylor hit in the Pro Bowl, it remains undefeated.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And should be the only Pro Bowl highlight we move forward with. The late, great Sean Taylor. And then finally, the USA retains the President's Cup, 17.5 to 12.5. Big golf guy, Angel?
A little bit. I've followed it kind of off and on during the spring, during the height of the PGA Tour and all of that. Following my guy, Justin Thomas. Played golf at Alabama, so he's kind of impartial towards him a little bit. Also, who was it? Not Scottie Scheffler. Xander Schauffele. Really liked his game playing throughout the spring. Liked watching him play. So a lot of young, we're kind of looking for that next young golf superstar that can kind of be the next Tiger Woods. No one will be there, but looking for someone to root for, and I think there's a lot of potential with the PGA.
There's so many young stars in the United States, I guess, team golf aspect. So President's Cup, for those of you who don't know, is a United States versus the international team, different from the Ryder Cup, as that is United States versus Europe. So this gives the international scene. So looking, you know, Sung Jae-im and folks like, I guess Corey Connors from Canada. It opens the door for a whole different group of international golfers to compete against the United States. It falls flat a little bit because the United States there's 12 players on a team or 12 golfers on the team. Eight of them are ranked in the top 10, whereas the international team, zero ranked in the top 15 You have the best player as Hideki Matsuyama at 17. So they should win every single year. They do. Once again, they retain the cup at Quail Hollow. It was great fun out there. You saw big names like Max Homa jump up and make a, you know, some great content of drilling a putt and celebrating before it goes in. The team aspect of golf is just it's another level. I think it always goes major. Yeah, so. Frankly, I'm a big golf guy. Used to host the golf show, if you remember a couple years ago. So golf, in my eyes, it goes majors. So, you know, the top four majors, you can add the Players Championship in that. And then just below that is team golf. And it's potentially 1A and 1B. Team golf is just unmatched. It's so fun. It's electric. The players get into it. They embrace the team aspect. Golf is hard. And when you're playing for someone else and you're missing a putt, and someone else is mad at you now because of that on your team, it's a little bit more heartbreaking. Therefore, on the other side of that, when you make that putt, it's a little bit more exhilarating. So it was a fun weekend in sports. When you look at, you know, throughout the college football landscape, going into the NFL, it's just one of the best times of year. I don't know if when you look at the landscape of sports, what's better? Maybe the spring. I don't know, but the NFL is not included in that. I think we're coming up on some of the best times. I think maybe like Christmas time when you have NFL, NBA, NHL are cruising in full gear, and you're looking hard to say. You have to really be a fun poll question potentially.
Certainly, yeah. You look at like just the month of October, all four major sports organizations are playing. Broncos are playing. The Nuggets are going to be back soon. The Avs just kicked off their preseason. The Rockies, unfortunately, their season is ending, but maybe fortunately if you're a fan. But the World Series coming up, I think that's going to be a fun postseason for the MLB. I like the Yankees-Mets to match up in the World Series. But then hockey gets going, Avs trying to defend the Stanley Cup, the Nuggets trying to get Michael and Jamal Murray back. Can Jokic go for a third straight MVP? That's crazy to even think about. And the Broncos, win after last night, you're feeling a lot better getting into October. Got some exciting sports coming up.
You sure do, and we're lucky right now. Denver or Colorado sports right now. This is some of the best times that I can remember of Colorado sports, where you have the defending Stanley Cup champions, who, like you said, just kicked off. It's fun to see. I saw JT Compher, put one top shelf yesterday, sniped one in there. It was great to see. It's amazing. I feel like we just watched them win the Stanley Cup, or I just was panic stricken for 2.5 months over their Stanley Cup playoff run, and now we're trying to gear up for it again. I don't know if I'm mentally and emotionally ready to watch them play hockey again and care about them winning, because the games in October matter just as much as they do in March as you're coming down the home stretch. So the Avalanche, there's no rest for the weary. Nathan MacKinnon signed a huge deal. I know it was talked about last week, but the Avalanche, they have their core. They're ready to roll again. So kind of trailed off there. So you have the Avalanche, you have the Nuggets. The Broncos should compete this year. They'll be playing meaningful football games in December and I think January. Regardless, definitely late December and more realistic than they were last year. When you look at the whole landscape of Colorado sports, we're in a great spot. And you still got those beautiful sunsets at Coors Field. Can't beat those. And you can go to the party deck and have a couple cold ones.
Yep. Sports are alive and well, at least professionally. The colleges are struggling.
They may continue to struggle
as the season goes on.
And maybe that's the perspective we need to have. It is like, okay, you have your college teams, which are not doing good. Okay, so let's group them. Let's do, you have CSU, you have CU, and then you have the Rockies. All of them are floundering in obscurity at the moment. Then you have the Broncos, Nuggets, and Avalanche. So if you're looking at the landscape of our sports scene, I'll take 50% of being true contenders. Would you rather, actually, I'll give you this. Would you rather have one team win a championship and the other five teams be absolutely unwatchable? Or would you rather have six teams, maybe three teams be really good and make it to the playoffs, lose in heartbreaking fashion, and three teams be okay? but not terrible. Maybe finish like, you know, second in a division.
Certainly interesting. I just think of like the city of Los Angeles and just how many championships that they won, and that's the last couple of years. The Rams, the Dodgers, the Lakers. Why can't we have that in Denver? Let's get a, you know, NBA Finals. Let's get another Stanley Cup. Let's get a Super Bowl for the Broncos. Like, we should have that. You have three bona fide superstars in each league. How many cities can say that? To have, you know, three superstars all signed on, you know, multi-year contracts, MVPs, champions, former champions. It's a lot of great positive stuff for the sports world in Colorado specifically.
Yeah, and when you look at the ownerships of teams right now, let's take a look at that. You look at, you know, leadership, right? So, you know, attitude reflects leadership, Captain, right? That's a great quote from the Remember the Titans. So you have leadership now at the Broncos in the Waltons, who have endless money, like they're just stupid money. You have the Kroenkes, who have stupid money, who just won a Super Bowl, who just won a Stanley Cup, who own Arsenal, who's doing well. The Nuggets are doing great. So you have ownership there, and then you now have, you know, obviously you have the Rockies ownership, who, again, awesome sunset. That's really great. So I think that's the difference. Maybe that's why we can't have both. We can't have it all, but we can have three. And I think at this moment, I'll definitely take three. So that's my take on that. You know, as we get into the next hour, we're going to get back into Broncos. I do want to actually talk CSU football coming up next. So we're going to talk about CSU football, another tough loss. But I think there's brighter times ahead. I'll also offer up some comparisons on the Rams as we get into the next segment. So you are listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Hull Show, presented by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studio. Myself and Angel riding with you today. It is 12:22 right now, and I want to talk about the CSU Rams. You know, unfortunately, they go down to Sacramento State 0-4. You can look at that and say, man, they're 0-4, really haven't been competitive in any game, and say there's no hope. We're struggling. This isn't going to work. What changes need to happen? But I want to take a step back, and there's no, you know, I think they say there's no moral victories in professional football. You know, there probably shouldn't be any moral victories in college football. But when you look and see, and when you're 0-4 and you get the doors blown off you every single game, there's got to be a silver lining somewhere, right? And my silver lining for the Rams is the quality of opponent that they've played. And you can look at the schedule and say, yeah, well, it's not that good. But you look at Michigan, obviously that's a top 10 team in Ann Arbor. First game of the Norvell era, that was never going to go good. No, never going to go well. Second game, you get shocked, quote-unquote, by Middle Tennessee State. And that's probably the game I want to talk about most right now, because who did Middle Tennessee State beat and beat handily?
It'd be the Hurricanes of Miami.
The Hurricanes of Miami. So Miami Hurricanes, I mean, that's no slouch. I don't care if it's a down program or not. If you go and beat Miami, that's impressive.
In South Florida.
And then you play Washington State, doesn't go well again. But Washington State's a very good football team. They beat Wisconsin, a ranked Wisconsin team at the time. And they took a wild game, actually, you know, was able to fortunately win a nice little parlay because Washington State was able to score kind of a garbage touchdown at the end. But they gave Oregon all they wanted and was going to beat Oregon in Oregon straight up for the longest time. That couple of defensive touchdowns at the end of that game kind of made it weird. But Washington State's a very, very high-quality Power 5 opponent. Now, Sacramento State. You look at Sacramento State from an outsider's perspective, and you say, CSU, there's no reason CSU should ever lose to Sacramento State. And I'm not saying they should. I'm not going to defend it. But Sacramento State's a very good team. They're a very, very, very good FBS, or FCS, excuse me, football team. And in fact, ranked in the top five in the nation. And so we saw this last year as well, where a good team came into Fort Collins from a lower level and beat the Rams. Sacramento State's going to do some damage this year. They'll go a long way in that lower level, that subdivision. So you look at the Rams' out-of-conference schedule, it was tough. Should they have won some games? I would have hoped so, yeah. But being 0-4 going into this, a completely new roster, new coaching staff, new everything, you know, it's kind of, there are some comparisons to the Broncos a little bit in the lack of efficiency and the lack of polish, I would say, with both teams right now. So let's, I guess the comparison I want to bring up is, if you go to the gym one day, do you expect to be fit the next day?
Probably not.
I mean, if you do, let's consider our expectations. And I think that's probably where we all went wrong a little bit with the CSU Rams this year is expectations. And that's because they did such a great job of the messaging in the offseason. It was a complete 180, 360, 720, whatever you want from the previous regime of positivity. We're making changes. We've got energy. We're doing this. We're doing that. We're going to be in the community. We're doing great things. And it was unrealistic for us to think that they were going to come in and just be great all again. Right? This is you know, Jim McElwain's call or CSU Rams roster right now. This is very much a result of Coach Bobo having a spread offense for 4 years. So you're recruiting spread offense players. You're recruiting athletic linemen who can get out and block the, you know, block the quick screens and do that stuff. Then you transition over to Coach Dazio's let's bring back 1950s football and hope for the best. We got to have big maulers in there who push people around. And now we're going to the air raid. So if you go spread, ground and pound, air raid, you're now going to have just a hodgepodge of players who don't fit. And if you can't fit puzzle pieces into the puzzle, you're not going to finish that puzzle. And if you are taking ground and pound players and trying to fit them into an air raid system, that's probably not going to work short term. I see Jay Norvell, Coach Norvell, with his energy, with his experience, with his passion, not only for his own players, but for the community as a whole, it will be rebuilt. It's just going to take a lot longer than we all expected. It has to. If, you know, I haven't worked out since 2006. Why in the heck would I expect to go run a marathon and not, like, be in trouble right away? You have to train and build that up, and it's going to take some time to be able to compete at the level that you expect to. If you think that it's just going to be an overnight results kind of a situation, that's wrong. And I think that's probably one of the reasons you look at the NFL, where coaches have two, three, you know, if you have two bad seasons, you are absolutely on the hot seat in the NFL. You are, that seat is hotter than anything you can possibly sit on. And that coach is probably on their way out, because it takes a lot more to get off the hot seat than it does to even get on it. So when you look at the long-term process of rebuilding a program, it starts with players. It starts with the buy-in, and then it just takes a year over year commitment to fitting pieces into the puzzle. I thought that, you know, looking back, we can remember the Jim McElwain days, where, you know, they just had these athletes. But first year of Jim McElwain, he was 4-8, wasn't looking good. We need to see some positivity as we go into Mountain West play, and we get the first chance. Now they have a bye week. So you've got some injuries. Clay Millen went down. He was 7 for 7, 62 yards. Again, the rushing attack wasn't there. The offensive line was kind of pushed around by a lower-level team. So you have a backup quarterback come in. He throws a touchdown, 116 yards. It's there. We're starting to build a little bit. But it's just going to take a lot of time. And Rams country, there's got to be patience expressed. You know, this team, we finally have a coach who we can get behind. I think that was one thing with Coach Dazio is just it never felt like that was going to work. And I think when you realize that me, he was just sitting on my couch eating potato chips, watching TV, I'm like, this isn't going to work. There's no way. Now I see, you know, Coach Novell, he's doing it the right way. You have to play the game a little bit, and I mean the game of public relations, doing the right thing in front of the right people at the right time, and that means supporting your community, and they're winning that battle. That will lead to wins on the field, guaranteed. I love what they've got going on. Support them. We've got Nevada. They're at Nevada in 2 weeks, so bye week, get rested. Get some practice in, and then they're going to Nevada, which should be a potentially pretty hostile environment to two teams that probably need a win pretty dang bad as we get into Mountain West play. As we get down to the bottom of the hour here, I want to make sure we thank Allo Communication Studios. You know, what a great place to be here. I want to thank Angel Behind the Glass, and let's get to the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, presented by PDC Energy. Brian Kentfield filling in for Brady Holt today, live from the Allo Communications Studios. And up on the First Advantage Hotline, 970-353-1310, is the voice of UNC football, Blake Olson. Blake, how are you?
Brian, how you doing? You gave Brady the date? No, actually, he's down there at Nuggets.
He's pretending to work down there at the Nuggets. You know, he calls it a work day, yep. But really he just goes down and does what he loves, you know?
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that. Hopefully you can get some free food out of it.
Yeah, exactly. I go by the mindset of if it's free, take three. So those are words to live by for everybody out there.
No question.
Big game this weekend for the Bears. They get the victory 35-14 over the Idaho State Bengals. Talk to me about it. Dylan McCaffrey had a decent game, one of his better games as a Bear. He took over as a starting quarterback once again, right?
Yeah, and I was just talking to Angel about this, who's a huge UNC Bears fan, but 23 of 28, 234 yards passing, one touchdown. They had an up-tempo offense going, especially early in the game. The first two drives, I mean, they just marched down the field, led by McCaffrey and the offensive line, who's had to deal with a lot of adversity up front. Really proud of those guys. I mean, they really stepped up on Saturday against the Bengals. But Dylan was outstanding. And all Bears fans know that if Dylan's not out there, Jacob Sermon is the next in line, and he's an outstanding quarterback as well. But that offense looks so good. The first two series especially, they fumble it inside the five, then they miss an easy chip shot field goal. And that game easily could have been 21-0, 28-0 in the second quarter, but they gave Idaho State an opportunity, and the Bengals hung around, give them credit for making it a game. But once UNC cleaned it up, man, it was a beautiful thing. But I am so impressed with how the offense looked and how the defense was flying around. And, of course, Elijah Dotson goes 82 yards on a punt return. It was just a thing of beauty. Cuts against the grain, cuts back to the right, takes off. You see his speed, his athleticism, his quickness. And, you know, I think you were talking about Sacramento State earlier in the show or in the last half hour. Obviously, they're a great program. And Dotson, if you just tuned in today, UNC, this is a transfer from Sacramento State and one of the best players in the Big Sky Conference, now playing for UNC as a graduate student. So to me, the moral of the story is Greeley residents, Northern Colorado residents, get out to Nottingham Field in a couple of weeks. Hopefully the Bears can win the next two games and in a good position to take on one of the best in the country in Montana State. So it's worth the price of admission to go see the Northern Colorado Bears, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, talking about Nottingham Field and the atmosphere there, so it was homecoming weekend this weekend. Crowd, how was the crowd out there? What was the energy like, you know, at the beginning of the game, tailgating, throughout the game?
Yeah, you know what? It was a great atmosphere and a great crowd out there. There was a hot air balloon out there, a Pepsi hot air balloon. People were jumping in the basket and enjoying the band. And UNC, they do a great job with the game day preparations and the presentation. But, you know, absolutely gorgeous weather, obviously, with the sunshine and blue skies, 77 at kickoff. And I think everyone enjoyed their day. And anytime you can win homecoming, that's a big deal. They celebrated the 97 national championship team, part of that back-to-back run for the Division II Bears back in the 90s. But, hey, my family was out there, and they had a blast. They had barbecue beef sandwiches, and, you know, they couldn't be happier. They got to see, you know, some of their favorite Bears ripping off big runs and catching big passes and winning their second of the year to up their record to 2-2.
Yeah, exactly. So, like you just mentioned, they go to 2-2 overall, 1-0 in conference play. So off to a great start there. Now, going back into McCaffrey, so what's the difference? You said he went 23 for 28, 234 and a touchdown, no interceptions. He also ran 6 for 20. You know that's an average of 3.3. What's the difference when he's efficient and not so efficient? What makes great games like this happen?
Great question. I think I would say that it's the running game. When you can go north and south, I'm a firm believer, even in spread offenses and what we have in college football these days, and actually all levels of football. Sometimes people can get away from the run. But I'm a firm believer, and you have to establish the run in order to throw the ball. And UNC, I think if they're able to go north and south and kind of get downhill with, you know, who I think they have four good running backs, really good running backs, maybe five, and they could start racking up the yardage, that's just going to help, you know, quarterbacks like Dylan McCaffrey. And I think that's where it kind of changes the whole game. It spreads out the defense a little bit, keeps them honest, and they can't pin their ears back and just go and try to kill the quarterback. They're going to have to tackle the ball carriers. And now that you have a guy like Dotson in there who, along with David Ofari and Jaquez Robertson, three guys who can, you know, be extremely dangerous in the offensive backfield. You got to play honest. You're going to have to tackle some really good running backs and take care of an offensive line from UNC that's very good. And then all of a sudden, play action, they can strike downfield. And, you know, he's not going for broke on every pass play. He's looking underneath, and that's where I think Dylan was great, you know, his reads and checkdowns and his progressions. He was outstanding on Saturday, and even running the ball basically out of an option set. Basically, he's reading the outside linebacker. He's pulling the ball out of the mesh and then getting downfield. Dylan has pretty good speed, and we talked about it on Saturday. Now, it's been said that he runs a 4.4. I'm not sure he runs a 4.4, maybe out of high school and when he was entering the University of Michigan. But I'll tell you what, he ran like he could run a 4.5. He looked like he was running a 4.5 on Saturday. Did a great job getting downfield and then out of bounds.
Yeah, and I love what you said there. So when you look at a balanced attack, you know, a balanced attack remains undefeated. They ended up having 31 runs, 28 passes. 31 runs for 130 yards, 4.2 yards a carry. Mm-hmm. That's right on, keeps you on schedule throughout. And then you add the dynamic playmaker of Elijah Dotson in there, who can do some special things. He goes for 24 and 102 and a touchdown. And then, like you mentioned already, he creates the special teams fireworks with the punt return. So when you add a playmaker like Dotson, with an efficient quarterback or a plan with McCaffrey, do you see a difference in the entire the explosiveness of the Bears, or they're, as they move forward, are they a dangerous team if they keep that balance?
Right. No, I agree. Yes, I would say yes, because the defense doesn't know what's coming. You know, there are five or six receivers in that room who are outstanding, including Travis Graham and Ty Arrington, and then Cassidy Woods, phenomenal. I mean, he's a physical receiver. He's long. He has speed. All these guys can make plays. Even guys like Noah Ford, who we have seen a lot so far this season due to injuries. These guys will kill you. And whether it's if they're beating the corners or the defensive backs, or it's underneath. A lot of stuff underneath, these quarterbacks are smart enough and savvy enough to find the open receiver, and that's what I love about both Jacob Sermon and Dylan McCaffrey. So I think it's balance. To answer your question, yes. That's what makes the team dangerous, in my opinion. A lot of people want to just point to a passing game, to a running game, and you have to be able to do it all, just like on defense. You can have the greatest corners in the world or the greatest athletic safeties, DBs back there, but if the linebackers aren't tackling, then you're going to have problems, in that second level. So, and if the defensive line can't hold their own up front and make plays, then, it's just not going to work. There are so many aspects to football. That's why it's the ultimate team sport. Everyone has to do their job, and the fundamentals come back, and it comes down to, for old guys like me, Brian, it comes down to blocking and tackling. I mean, you can see that in the NFL. The great teams will be able to block downfield, their receivers, not just catch passes. When it all comes together, it's a beautiful thing, and I think, Coach McCaffrey and the staff, they've been doing a phenomenal job up to this point. And I think we're going to see a pretty good season, if not a great season.
That's fantastic to hear. What's next? I know they go up to, we've got a couple minutes here real quick, so this will be the last one. They go up to Idaho this weekend.
Yep.
How do they stack up against an Idaho Vandals team?
Well, I've watched Idaho for 4 weeks now. I've got to really dig deep in to everything that they're about. But the bottom line with Idaho, they gave Washington State a run for their money. I mean, just like UNC played Wyoming tough for 3.5 quarters and had a chance to win that game, Idaho kind of did the same thing to Washington State. They're coming off a big victory over Northern Arizona on the road, their first Big Sky Conference game. It's homecoming for them. They go back to Kibbe Dome and Moscow, Idaho, and that place is going to be difficult to win a football game in. On a Saturday night, we start the broadcast on KFKA at 6 o'clock, the pregame show, Aaron Raff and myself, and then we kick it off at 7 o'clock. But sometimes those Saturday night games on the road can be difficult because you're in the hotel the entire day. You're ready to play if you're on the road, these guys. And they're going to have to wait, they're going to have to be patient, and they're going to have to come, and they're going to have to hold on to the football. They can't make a lot of mistakes against Idaho. It's a very well-coached football team, and, they're capable of a lot of great things as well. So I'm sure, the Bears are talking about it right now. They're looking at video. They're preparing for a great week of practice, and it should be a lot of fun coming up. And I will remind you, tomorrow night at the GOAT and also on KFKA, the UNC Coaches Show, 6 o'clock. Coach McCaffrey will be there with a special guest. Come on out. Wes Greeley, great food, great fun, all the monitors you need to watch your favorite teams or replays and atmosphere. So come on out to the GOAT tomorrow for the UNC Coaches Show.
That all sounds great for me. Blake, I sure do appreciate your time today. Thanks for jumping on and talking UNC Bears football. And I wish the team nothing but the best up in Idaho. Hopefully they take care of business, go 3-2, and then come back home ready to roll. So thank you so much, Blake. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Brian. Have a good day.
You as well. That's Blake Olson, the voice of UNC football. Bears coming off a great win, building some momentum as they move forward. Looking forward to it. We've got a whole another hour to go here on the whole show. Potentially bringing in a guest next hour. We'll get to that next. But you are listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Sunday and Monday night football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show, presented by PDC Energy. 1254. My name is Brian Kentfield. Having a blast with you today. I've got a guest in studio, though. Welcome, the host of
hey,
the whole show.
It's Brady, good to jump Brady in Hall here, man. So this is what it's like.
What an absolute treat.
Yeah, you take it from here, though,
yeah,
man.
This is a great
enjoying listening. So I just got back in from Denver, and which is always a lovely drive, as you know.
It's great.
It's fantastic. Coming this way wasn't bad, though. You know, at this time of day, really not bad at all. So got a chance to see some Nuggets media day. Again, I'm not gonna walk away with breaking news. They're not gonna give you anything for you to, I mean, I know there's going to be stories written about Media Day and stuff, but it's, you know, it's fun. It's just good to see everybody there. It's just awesome to see Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. talking like they're going to be playing.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. So excited about that, man. Joker.
So is that the news? What is the news that comes out of
That's the
Media
news,
Day?
And DeAndre Jordan is 34. Stop asking him if he's running out of steam. He had some fun with the media. A lot of questions to him about, like, one guy's like, are you still happy with the way you jump and dunk and all that stuff? And he's like, I can still jump. I can still dunk the basketball, yes. But I'm not going to be asked to do, 30 minutes a game. I'm here to back up Nikola Jokic. So the chemistry seems really good. They all seem like they're friends, like really good friends. Michael Malone pointed that out and said, that was the thing he noticed this year more than the last two or three was the camaraderie is really strong with this team.
You think that's a direct shot at Boogie Cousins not being in the locker room anymore?
I don't know. I also think it's like the COVID stuff. Yeah. Like, you could only do so much. Like, they got together. Aaron Gordon had a paintball thing. You know, they all went and played paintball against each other and had fun with that. They just seem like a tight-knit group with a lot of new guys on this team. Bruce Brown's the big, I think that's the big addition. I don't know if it's underrated to diehard NBA fans, but I think to casual Nuggets fans, they're kind of like, what's Bruce Brown going to bring to the table? And he's going to bring defense. And Michael Malone said, hey, make no bones about it. We want to be a top five defense. That's our goal this year.
And with the addition of KCP, I mean, that should bring some defense as well.
KCP and then Bruce Brown, I think those two guys will be exceptional. Also, Calvin Booth sitting up there with Michael Malone today as the GM. This is his first media day as the GM the guy. And I thought that was interesting, too, because Michael Malone talked the whole time, but he sent it over to Calvin a few times.
Awesome. Well, Brady, are you going to stick around for a little bit?
I got nothing else. Normally this time's booked, so I'll just hang around, man.
Well, what a treat. you're listening to the whole show, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.